Chapter 20. Hasek watched the augur readings with a growing sense of unease.
"Are you sure?" he demanded, swinging around to face Taban. "Can there be no mistake?"
"I do not think so, Noyan Khan," replied the sensorium master,
peering intently at the lenses clustered around him.
"I am as surprised as you, but I will check to eliminate the possibility of error."
Hasek turned to Goghal, commander of his keshig.
"What of the fleet?"
The Korfan is moving to engage them. I cannot make contact with the bridge. Hibu is not responding from the Chinza. I have reports of disorder on many vessels now."
Hasek exhaled irritably.
"We do not have time for this."
Goghal looked over his shoulder briefly. Far away, back down in the depths of the lower bridge, the Terran woman was still working hard at her station.
"The Kaljan has landed boarders. Even here, my lord, we are not..."
"Shiban's ship?"
"I believe so."
"Open a voxlink to the incoming flotilla," ordered Hasek. "Prevent any of our vessels from opening fire on them. This is the moment. We hold here. We wait here."
He turned to the dozens of white scars around him. They were Khans, captains, senior ship officers, and mortal commanders. Just a few of those who had been persuaded, and who were now working to free the Legion from the hand of tyranny. Some, like Taban, were members of the flagship's crew. Others had come with him from the Chinza. They remained resolute. They had no choice.
"Incoming vessels are not responding," replied Goghal quietly.
Hasek cursed.
"Why not?"
"I have run repeat scans," interjected Taban.
"There was no mistake. Teleportation was detected. Locus fixed on Tiska."
He looked up at Hasek.
"They appear to have gone direct to the source."
Hasek felt his frustration rising. This was not what had been arranged.
"Can we get a fix? Can we send a..."
Klaxons suddenly burst out across the bridge, echoing in the high vaults. White Scar's warriors all around the key stations locked their bolters and began to move towards the many entrances.
"A boarding party approaching, Noyan Khan," reported Goghal,
drawing his own weapon from its holster. His voice was almost reproachful.
"Orders to repel?"
Hasek cast his eye over the command bridge. For all its size, it was stuffed with throngs of bodies. Menials, station operators, space marine squads, tech priests. Hundreds of them, all at his command. At the heart of it was his own keshig, the unbreakable retinue of Terminator-clad veterans, just like the Kargan. A lone brotherhood posed no real risk. They had run the calculations. But still, he had hoped to avoid full-scale combat in persuading others to the honourable course. Perhaps that had always been a foolish hope.
"We are secure here," said Hasek coldly. "Tell them to hold the enemy at the entry points."
Goghal bowed.
"And what of them?"
Hasek turned back to the arch of the massive observation portal. He could see them with his own eyes now. Four grand warships, each clustered with escorts, burning towards them out of the glare of Prospero's sun. They were moving slowly but purposefully, a far cry from the disruption sweeping across the White Scars fleet.
"They are not 16th Legion, Noyan Khan," said Goghal.
"I can see that."
"Why did they not make contact? Why the silence?"
"This is the test, brothers,"
Hasek announced, turning back to the warriors around him. Even as he did so, he heard the first hard bangs of bolter fire echoing in the levels below.
"This is what we have been working towards."
He drew his own blade, the Chagorian talwar that he had borne into battle since the first days of the Crusade.
"It cannot be halted now," he said. "For the sake of the Imperium, no backward step."
Shaban burst into the corridor, running hard. A dozen of his warriors flanked him, and they raced along together, followed closely by the rest of the Brotherhood. Menials pressed against the walls to let them pass, wide-eyed with shock. Warning klaxons rang tinnily, followed by ship-wide emergency warnings. Many of the ship's crew were armed with las weapons, but had nothing that could stop several hundred primed and armored white scars on the rampage. The Brotherhood pushed up, deck after deck, not encountering any resistance that they could not sweep aside with unconscious ease. Near the end, Shaban broke into one of the halls below the bridge level. A vast space with curving marble walls and banks of glowing sensor lenses. Hundreds of tech priests and mortal officers scattered ahead of him, breaking like herds of prey before a hunter's arrowhead formation. He did not even see their faces. They passed him in a blur. Ranks of cogitator logic engines swept by, as tall as warhounds and steaming from superheated valves and transistor columns. As he sprinted clear of the last of them, the first hammering salvo of bolter fire cracked into the walls around him. He skidded to a halt, dropping low and scanning for the source of the incoming shots. A wide staircase ran away from him, less than 20 meters ahead, ascending steeply to the far end of the hall. Terraces radiated along the walls on either side of it, all stuffed with servitor stations. Halfway up the staircase, on a colonnaded landing area, a line of white scars waited. They were well established, already crouched in fire positions and able to shelter behind the curve of the pillars around them. Beyond them lay the approaches to the Strategium and bridge. Their commander did not make any attempt to stay in cover. He strode to the forefront, bolter in one hand, power sword in the other.
"Go no further, brothers!" he shouted,
and his vox-amplified voice echoed around the hall.
"That is enough! We will fire if you force us!"
Shaban looked up at him, and his heart sank. It was Torgon. The Terran had come with at least the majority of his Brotherhood, 200 detectable, surely many more remaining out of sight.
"This cannot go on,"
replied Shaban, holding position. Behind him, his forces advanced slowly under the cover of the logic engines.
"You are not the master of this legion, Torgon." "Nor are you, brother,"
Torgon replied, gazing down at him from his vantage.
"The bridge is sealed. What of the Kargon?" "Hasik speaks for the Kargon."
Shaban felt his blood run hot. No one, not even the Emperor himself, spoke for the Great Khan.
"It is not just me," Shaban voxed. "Others will resist, all across the fleet. The Legion will not take Hasik's lead." "They will come around," said Torgon,
though he sounded almost as if he were working to convince himself.
"They will see it, just as the Kargon will when he returns."
Shaban examined the stairway approach. It would be difficult. The defenders had the height advantage and the cover advantage. But did they truly believe in this? Would they hold the line for Hasik in the way that they would for the Kargon?
"You can still withdraw," voxed Shaban. "I know you, brother. This is not why you joined them. You never intended it. Lower your blades. This is no longer about loyalty. It is over."
Torgon only hesitated for a fraction of a second, just a mere fragment of a chronoslice, hardly detectable. Still, he hesitated.
"I have my orders, Shaban," he said defiantly. "Come no further. We will fire on you."
Shaban nodded grimly. He transmitted a silent command to his Brotherhood over the comm.
"Go swiftly. Go surely. We do this for the Kargon."
"Then I am sorry, brother,"
Shaban voxed, clutching his glaive two-handed and tensing for the charge.
"Believe me, I am. Now."
With a deafening roar, the Brotherhood of the Storm burst out of cover and surged up the stairway, charging into the incoming torrent of bolter shells as the hall exploded with light, sound, and fury. The Khan watched the last of the warp energies tear away. He watched the ash settle and the residual snags of ether burn ripple into nothing. Then he watched seven figures within the maelstrom emerge. Six of them were legionaries, They were clad in pale, thick-slabbed Terminator armor and carried huge Reaper scythes. Their pauldrons were olive-green, and the links between the plates were cold iron. They were massive, heavier set than Quinjar's retinue, hunched at the shoulder and leaking pale green vapor from the last of the teleportation beams. The seventh occupied a different order of power. He towered over them, clad in plate of bare brass and corpse-white ceramite. A long cloak of dark green hung down from high-rimmed shoulder guards. Skulls dangled from chains about his belt, some human, some Xenos. A long pistol nestled among them, drum-barreled and studded with bronze kill markers. His eyes were amber, glinting from under the deep shadow of a tattered cowl. An ornate rebreather covered the lower half of his face. Coils of oily gas spilled from the lining of his battle plate, dribbling down the skull-painted surfaces and hissing on contact with Prospero's death-dry soil. Tubes running from the rebreather mask gurgled with fluids. His breath came in clogged wheezes.
"Jagatai,"
said the Primarch Mortarian, planting the heel of his enormous scythe into the dust. The Khan looked up at the blade. It was known as Silence, the greatest of the 14th Legion's infamous man-reapers.
"Mortarian," the Khan replied, nodding in acknowledgement. "This is not your world."
"Nor yours. And yet here we both are."
Mortarian's honor guard, the Death Shroud, spread out silently across the ash. Quinjar's warriors fell into a mirror formation. The two forces faced one another, just a few meters apart. Above them the lightning rippled and the thunder growled. The Khan felt his muscles tense.
"If you came for Magnus, he is no longer here."
"I came to find you, brother. Things have changed."
"You noticed."
Mortarian smiled behind his mask, making his mottled cheeks crease.
"I have plenty to tell you, Jagatai. There are opportunities here. The cost of error has never been higher. The reward's beyond imagination."
The Khan observed him guardedly. Mortarian had always been hard to read.
"You are here to persuade me, then?" he asked. "You think, after all this, there are any more arguments to be made?"
Mortarian reached up with his left hand and pushed his cowl back. A pallid grey scalp was revealed, though it still bore the noble countenance of the Jean Brotherhood. Deep bags nested under his sharp eyes, and wisps of gas rose up from the collar about his neck.
"Listen," he said. "Just listen. You might learn something. Even you, my proud brother, can still be tutored."
The Khan left his blade unsheathed, holding it loosely by his side. Mortarian's power seemed to have grown. Something burned in him, dark like old embers. His flesh was somehow bleaker, his stance a little more crabbed, and yet the aura of intimidation around him had been augmented. Back on Ulanor, even at the height of triumph, he had not had quite the same heft. The Khan recalled his brother's words.
"Then what would be the wager on us, brother? What would you pay if we fought?"
"Say what you came to say," said the Khan.
Mortarian bowed, half mockingly.
"I have travelled a long way to find you," he rasped. "And now, look around. We have all the time in the universe. All we have left to disturb us are the dead, and they do not stir."
He smiled again, as mirthless and dry as before.
"Yet."
Shiban shouldered into a brother legionary, sending him staggering back up the wide marble steps. He spun his glaive, sweeping it through the air crossways and cracking the bolter free of the stricken defender's gauntlets. Then he plunged it down, punching the blade tip through his victim's armor cabling and severing the oxygen feed. Torgon's warrior gagged, tearing at his throat, and rolled across the steps into the path of Shaban's charging brotherhood. The volume of fire was horrific. Even running at speed, darting and ducking as they came, dozens had been cut down. The bolt shells cracked hard into ceramite plate, ripping it apart and sending legionaries flying backwards. Right up until the order to charge had been given, Shaban had not been sure they would really open fire. Torgon had been as good as his threat, though, and his warriors had done their duty. The Brotherhood of the Storm surged up against the hammering deluge, sprinting in loose formation. For every one of them knocked back, 10 more gained ground. Soon they were up amidst the colonnades and the fighting switched to close range. Brother locked blades with brother, and the echoing din of bolter fire was joined by the acrid snarl of energy weapons. Shaban turned to face another defender, given away by the moon icon upon his pauldron, but otherwise almost indistinguishable from any other warrior in the melee. They locked blades in a flurry of vicious strokes. Shaban whirled his Guan Dao, blurring the disruptor trail before jabbing it straight ahead, impaling the warrior under the breastplate. He wrenched the blade deep, twisting it into the flesh beneath before yanking it clear. If the enemy had been a greenskin, he would have kept going, carving into the organs, making sure. But these were his brothers. He had no wish to kill if it could be avoided. He immobilized, shattered bones, throttled and bludgeoned, then moved on, sprinting further up through the throng of warriors towards the summit. The fighting was bizarre, close-packed, frenzied, confused and brutal, but strangely detached. No fighter whooped or cried out in battle cant. They fought with a cold discipline, going through the movements with consummate skill, but taking no joy in it.
"We have become wretched," thought Shaban,
as he powered up through the press of bodies, twisting, punching, lashing out.
"We have become what we once hated."
He thrust upwards, smashing a defender out of his path with a haymaker from his gauntlet.
"You always went too fast, brother,"
came a familiar voice from above. Shaban ducked, feeling the blade swipe lash across him. He dropped to one knee before driving upwards again, glaive extended. Torgon was too quick, evading the disruptor point and parrying with his power sword. The blades crackled together in a storm of energy auras before leaping apart.
"What did they promise you?"
snarled Shaban, coiling for another strike. Torgon thrust first, handling his tulwar with suitably impressive dexterity. They clashed again, exchanging a flurry of heavy blows before springing back apart.
"Nothing,"
he grunted.
"It's about loyalty."
Shaban pressed the assault, using his glaive's reach to batter Torgon onto the back foot.
"Loyalty!"
Torgon countered at speed. Sparks showered across his armor as the energy field snarled and burned.
"Horus is the War Master. Why do you resist it?"
Then he broke free of the sequence of blows and launched his own strike, ducking around the glaive and angling in low.
"That is not enough,"
gasped Shaban, only just blocking the strike and nearly losing his footing. All around them, warriors grappled and cut, blasted and blocked, gripped in 100 jewels of their own. Shattered masonry flew from the architraves above them, smashed loose by bolter fire.
"You know it. You've been used."
Torgon fell back, retreating a pace up the stairs to give himself room, and Shaban went after him.
"Used?"
Torgon scoffed, incredulous.
"Where is the Emperor, brother? Where are the legions at his side? Look at the world below. Look at it."
Shaban crashed into contact again, swinging the glaive in a tight arc and hammering against Torgon's defense. Together they rocked and swayed, climbing steadily, surrounded by the tumult of combat. The summit of the stairway drew closer. With a burst of exhilaration, Shaban saw that they were forcing the defenders back.
"Give this up,"
urged Shaban.
"You can still call it off."
Torgon fell back again, reaching the landing beyond and letting Shaban come to him. Bolter fire hammered out again, launched from positions further up, hidden against the pillars and terraces of the bridge's main antechamber. As always, Torgon had organized his defenses well. There were layers after layers, each harder to breach than the last.
"I have my orders,"
Torgon said again, repeating the words with the same growl of defiance. By then he stood at the entrance to the antechamber, covered by Baltar fire arcs and flanked by his steadily retreating brotherhood, sword held in guard, stance resolute. It was hard not to admire his conviction. Shaban had always noted the way that the Terrans fought in defence, steadfast, gritty, bloody-minded. There were things to learn, even in the heart of the madness.
"Damn your orders!"
Shaban roared, rousing his warriors for the final push.
"For the Khargan!"
With an answering wave of aggression, they surged up the final incline, sweeping over the lip of the stairs and into the new storm. Torgon held position, and the two of them slammed back into the duel, blades whirling in a storm of flaring disruptors. Mortarion took a few steps towards the Khan. Qunjar moved to intervene, but the Khan gave him a wordless battle sign, and he retreated with the others. The two Primarchs stood alone, shadowed by their respective bodyguards. Mortarion was a little broader, the Khan a little taller. Mortarion's armour was heavy, almost crude, where the Khan's was fine-wrought. Silence was a gigantic weapon, forged from a chunk of adamantium and glittering with Archaeotech fixings. The Khan's Dao was a slender, perfectly curved piece of flawless metal, deriving its strength from its form rather than its size. It could be made to move faster than any blade in the Imperium. Speed against implacability. An interesting contest.
"You are not meant to be here," said Mortarion. "You are meant to join the Alpha Legion at Alaxis."
The Khan nodded.
"Or return to Terra."
"We did not wish that. Why would we?"
"The Alpha Legion held us at Chondax. They wanted us to hear from Dorn."
Mortarion raised a hairless eyebrow.
"Indeed. You surprise me, but perhaps you shouldn't. It seems that Alpharius is never wholly of one mind."
He chuckled darkly.
"He plays a dangerous game. His own intrigues will throttle him."
"So, why you?" asked the Khan.
"Why not me, brother?"
"I assumed it would be Horus."
"Vanity. He has many things to keep him busy."
The Khan's eyes narrowed. Mortarion did not seem too sure of himself. For all the show, all the projected force, he was on shaky ground.
"Horus didn't send you, did he?"
"That means nothing."
"It means everything," said the Khan, studying his brother's reaction. "Magnus told me how the war stands. Some souls are still to be decided on. There were always those of us on the edge. I was one. You were another."
Mortarion snorted.
"My legion was at Istvan, so put aside any thoughts that we are not committed. The outcome is already determined, and your choice is simple. Preservation or destruction. Come, Jagatai, you've never even believed in unity. You saw through it even when Gilliman was lecturing us all to tears, back when there was still Xenos standing between our father and the galaxy's edge."
"Then tell me the alternative."
"A galaxy of warriors," said Mortarion. "A galaxy of hunters, where the strong are given their freedom. A galaxy in which there is no dead hand at the tiller, constraining us, lying to us."
"And all this led by Horus?"
Mortarion shrugged.
"He's the start. He is the champion, the sacrificial king. He may burn himself out to get to Terra. He may not. Either way, there will be room for others to rise."
Mortarion drew closer, and the Khan smelled the chemical tang of his armor.
"You should never have thrown your lot in with the Angel Brother, let alone Magnus. I hated to see it, the three of you, getting dragged in deeper. I always thought you'd break away, see through it, get tired of the hypocrisy.
They were never hypocrites.
No.
Mortarion exhaled a parched laugh.
I hoped you'd have understood them sooner. It's the warp, Chakotay. Our father tried to pretend it wasn't there, as if he weren't already up to his elbows in its soul-sucking filth. It should have been cordoned off, put away, forgotten about. It's not for us. It's a sickness, a blight.
Mortarion became agitated. He calmed down slowly, wheezing through his gash-shrouded mask. The Khan heard a faint hiss and guessed at what kind of suppressants had been shunted into his bloodstream.
I see what has happened, he said quietly.
Mortarion cocked his head.
Oh. You were always sincere. I will give you that, said the Khan. You never hid what you wanted. I can guess how you thought it would go. First hobble the sorcerers, silence the witches, drive them out and rule passes to the uncorrupted, the healthy. That was your great project. You even told me of it that day on Ullinor. I thought back then that they were empty threats, but I should have known. You do not make empty threats.
As the Khan spoke, Mortarion's mask-locked expression remained inscrutable. Every so often his eyes would go filmy, or his finger would twitch. There was a kind of febrile energy about him, spilling out of the cracks, just as the noxious fumes did.
But it has gone wrong, hasn't it? The Khan went on. You have completed your great mission, but there are more sorcerers than ever. Porus has sponsored them. Logar has shown them new tricks. If Magnus has not already made up his mind, then he soon will, and then you will be surrounded. You've destroyed the Librarius, only to find the witches are now untrammeled. They played you well. You have done their work for them, and soon you will be dragged into it yourself, as warp-sick as they are.
You think that
I see it perfectly. Magnus showed me. Your legion may be free of it for now, but the change will come. You made your pacts, and now they will come to collect. You fool.
Mortarion stiffened. His eyes blazed with anger for a second, quickly quelled.
You do not...
And that is why you came to find me, said the Khan. You've run out of friends. Who will stand with you against the Aether Weavers now? Angron? What an ally. Kurz? Good luck.
The Khan gazed at Mortarion disdainfully.
You've tasted the fruits of treachery and found them bitter. Don't drag me into your ruin. You're on your own, brother.
Mortarion's expression fractured behind the mask, shifting into an enraged snarl, disfiguring rapidly. Silence quivered, and he took half a step forward, his free fist clenching.
I came to give you a choice, Mortarion said,
keeping his voice under control with some difficulty.
Half your legion are already declared for Horus. The others will follow wherever you order them. Our father's time is over. You can be a part of the order that replaces him.
The Khan smiled, a cold smile, imperious in its contempt.
A new emperor?
Mortarion glared back at him, though he could not hide the doubt.
Why not? Why should it not be you?
The Khan nodded, finally understanding.
Or you? Why not indeed?
He drew closer, noticing for the first time the discoloration of the skin around the edge of his brother's rebreather. How long had he worn it?
I'll tell you why. Because we were never the Empire Builders. We were the Outriders. You chafed at it. I embraced it.
Mortarion began to back away. As he did so, silence crackled into life, sparking with green-tinged energy. The Death Shroud lowered their scythes in a combat posture.
"Then you will not be persuaded," said Mortarion, his filtered voice sunken into a surly growl. "A shame. I invested much energy to save you, brother. I shall take no pleasure in your destruction."
Behind the Khan, the Keshig readied their blades.
"And there is the difference between you and me," said the Khan, moving his Tao into guard. "By the time I make my kills, I am always laughing.